Good morning to you all. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving dinner with those who you love and those who are your friends and your family. If not, hope you spent some time with the Lord then. I wanted this today as we're going to work through some things today. I want to let you know that pastoring is one of the hardest jobs I believe is in the world. And I believe because, one, God calls you to it. It's not something you pick. God calls you to it. You're not really a man that's called, is not really equipped to do something that God's called him to do. I want to tell you that seeing things, as a pastor, I try not to get caught up in political things at all. I try to get more caught up into the way, into Christ himself. Doesn't mean I don't vote, because I do vote. I think that's a privilege, and I think if you have that privilege, you have that right. You do it. But I also believe that being a pastor is one of the hardest things there is. Not every pastor has a great legacy to leave. Not every pastor is able to accomplish all that he desires to accomplish. But pastoring is very, very difficult. You're dealing with the spiritual warfare on a daily basis. You're dealing with phone calls of people you haven't heard from for a long time, calling you, telling you about their problems, wanting you to agree with the sinful choices that they made. They get angry with you. They're the ones that make the call. Or it's just someone calling you up to complain about something or whatever it may be. Pastoring is one of the hardest jobs that there is, really. It really is. And I don't do that for your condolences or anything of that, or your pity, or I have any self-pity. It's not that at all. I'm just saying, as a pastor, you try to stay in touch with the Holy Spirit 24/7. It is one of the most difficult things to do. As you try to listen to the Holy Spirit and you got the voices coming in your head on the 20, always, it's very difficult sometimes because you want to go into the flesh to make people happy. But you must stay in tune with the Holy Spirit to please the Father. It is the most difficult calling, the most difficult job in the world. And with that, God gives you eyes to see things that many do not see. And I want to share some things with you this morning. And I'm going to share with you how you can work through some of these things. And I'm not a political person, but I do pay attention. And some of these stats that I've got are from Indiana Star. I got them from, or the Indy Star from Indianapolis. This is mostly about Indiana. Also got it from some other newspapers or even the Pew Research, which is a Christian research, or Barna. Those, I'm not going to go through a lot, but I want to share with you what is going on out there. And I want you to just, life ain't that, let me just tell you, we are living in a world that is a complete mess. And Indiana is right there with it. And I want to share some stats with you that it's going to be amazing. And if it hits you, I'm going to just, if you're trying to change your life better, well, praise God, don't take that. Don't take what I'm saying to saying, listen, God's working on me. I was a part of that stat. I want to just share a few things with you because it does pull into who we are at New Life Fellowship. Indy Star said this. I'm going to start with foster care and children. Indiana has more children in its welfare system than any of the other surrounding states. Even those who are double our size in population, Ohio and Illinois are double our size, yet we have more children in our welfare system. We ran out of money in Indiana in June, and we had to do $137 million bailout in June because we ran out of money. Our system doesn't work. It's not working. Indiana system, DCS, is not really working. But it goes deeper than that. We have more women that are in prison due to drugs and losing their children than any of the other states. And we went over the last couple of years, most states went up 20%, 30%. We went up over 200%. We have a drug problem in this state. But then we turn around and we look at what Illinois is doing 2 days ago. The new governor that's going to come into place, he says this. Medical use, marijuana use is only for medical purposes. But he's the new governor. He's going to try to push it to legalize it as recreational because he says that it will bring in millions and millions of dollars, and we can use that to help balance our budget. He says, I am for recreational use. Then we look over to the suicide rate, and we look at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Suicide is the tenth leading cause of death in the United States, and this rate is really increasing, mostly in the rural areas of the white male area. The only one that's second to white Caucasian people is the people that are Indian American. Suicides cost the United States $60 billion annually. The federal government put out a new piece. I don't know if you saw it about the weather in this country. The weather is getting worse, whether you want to believe it's climate warming or whatever. We have more fires and everything, and it's actually bringing the... And it's they're forecasting, continuing to forecasting. They believe it's all because of the way we pollute the world and all those kind of things. And it's getting worse with the fires out west and all the hurricanes and those... And you can kind of tell that things are twisting. You can tell. But I don't think it's those things. It's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. Let me tell you about Indiana real quick. One more. 63% of Indiana adults believe that there is that they believe 100% in God. 63%. But you can only find 36% attend church on Sunday. We have a problem. Hello, we have a problem. Church is not important. We just believe that God is God, but we don't want to put anything into it. We don't want to put anything into our relationship with God. We need to be about who God has called us to be. I'm going to give you 7 things this morning that's going to help you, that should help you stay focused in your walk, because we're living in a world. Listen, you can go back into your history books and look at the Dark Ages, and you think that's the worst time. I'm telling you, it's getting, and the Bible says it's going to get worse. So we've got to get stronger as Christians. And we don't get stronger sitting at home. We don't get stronger not reading the Word. We don't get stronger because we say we believe in God. We get stronger by living out the principles that God tells us to live by. I know I wouldn't get too many amens today, but we're not even got started. And let me tell you this. God loves you, but your opinions about Him isn't going to change His ways. Your ideas and your thoughts about God's Word isn't changing God's Word. God's Word is still truth. Your Word does not trump. No one's Word trumps God's Word. God is God. It is His world. It is His Word. And we are His creation. We need to remember that. Remember that. Listen, I didn't even get into opioids and prescription drugs, but America uses 90% of painkillers. In the world, 85% of the painkillers in the pharmaceutical world, we consume 85% of it. We've got a problem. But we just keep wanting to throw money in the government. And I will tell you this also, that the church was the one that was dealing with the soup kitchens in the 30s. And even before that, even in the Western days, way before that, the church was the place that people went to when they had babies and they didn't want to know what to do with them. They had the orphanages. They had the soup kitchens. They did the social work. And then all of a sudden in the 50s, we decided we wanted country clubs and we didn't want to get into the mess anymore. So who was stuck with it? The government and the churches are still trying to make these beautiful buildings and make all these things without the mess of the world in it. Listen, this church is a hospital. You may not like it, but it's a hospital. Look around, see the people that's got damage in their life, but they're here. You're here today because you're trying to get better. You want to get better, and you found out this is the place, the Holy Spirit, the church, is the place to get it better with God. Yeah, there's times you're going to need some help from the outside, but I'm going to tell you, we're getting it backwards. We're getting it backwards. We as a church, we gave the mission and the vision that God's given to the churches because the churches did almost all of the soup kitchens. And then they wanted to be done with it. Almost all of the orphanages were done and run by Catholics and some of the other churches. And now we just want to be a member of a church. Make us feel good. I think God's saying, hey, if you want to talk the talk, it's time to start walking it. I want to give you 7 good habits for winning Christians. Now, there's some Christians in the world that are winning. They're winning. I mean, there should be some of us here. Being, you know, I'm winning in my life with Christ. I'm winning in my life in Christ, which means I'm getting better every day in my walk with Christ. I'm living it out. I'm living what I know is what is to be right in God's Word. And so I'm going to share 7 things that these people, these 7, if you're a winner, listen, I'm telling you, if you write things down, this is the ones you want to write. This is stuff you write down. But we don't write things down anymore. We just listen, we walk out, and we're like, well, we need to be more attentive in the Word. We need more be more attentive in the Scriptures. We need to be more attentive. We don't miss church because we want to. We miss because we have to. You don't come to church when you got 102 temperature. You stay at home. All right? But there's 7 good habits of people that are walking in the Lord that you see that are blessed, that are living, that are winning Christians in the world. Okay? Because we just saw 63% of people in Indiana believe in God, but when it comes time to show up, only maybe half, a little bit more than half, are showing up. Most churches always have some empty car parking spots. 7 good habits, all right? So I want you to turn to, the first one's going to be in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. We can read it, but these people who are winners in Christ, they understand it. Okay? So Philippians, or Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 5 and verse 8. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you live, which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were, by nature, objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Listen, you are alive in Christ. The winners in Jesus know this, that they were made alive in Christ. They remember that they were once dead in Christ. You were once dead, and you were once dead because how you acted. You were once dead because of what you did in your life. And we were all sinners. We were all sinners. And we were dead at one time. We were doomed. We were doom and gloom and headed for a place called hell. But because God loved us, He sent His Son. He says, I love my people. Somebody, I love people. I'm going to give my opportunity for people not to go to that place of hell and damnation. And God knows it. He knows exactly what it is and where it is. It's the dung pile. It's the heat pile. It's the sinfulest trash. He doesn't want us to go there. And people that live and that are winners in Christ and understand when they wake up, they know, I was once dead in Christ. I was once dead, but now through Christ, I am now alive. I'm not going there. I'm alive. I am a child of God. I am alive. But I was once going there because of how I acted and the things that I did. I transgressed. I sinned against God. Nobody else did that. I did that. And once we come to the knowledge of who Christ is, we just don't get saved and baptized and think we got it all clear. And we're clear of it. But that God has a plan for each person that He saves. A future. With an awesome hope. It isn't about getting angry with the government. It isn't about getting all up into all the other things. It's about getting up in Christ every day. Knowing He's the one that's got your back. He's the one that's got your future. He's the one that saved you from hell and damnation. And folks, there is a hell. And the Bible says, wide is the gate. Listen, I don't think we understand that this morning. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. There is a place called hell. And people that are saved, people that know it and are living it, that are winners in Christ, they don't forget that. They wake up every day knowing that it is by grace that I'm standing today. It is by His grace, not by my power, but by His grace. And it's His grace and His love that saves people. You can't say, well, one day I'll come to Jesus when I have time. One day I'll turn it around. Listen, you don't get to pick and choose today. You just have to be obedient to God when He talks to you, when He speaks to you, and He gives you doors of opportunity. So one thing that people that are getting it right with Christ today are doing this one thing. They know that they were made alive in Christ Jesus. They knocked themselves off the pedestal because they found out that their way wasn't working. Their way just led down more and more trails of sin and trial, hurts, pains, and suffering, and loss. How many of y'all know that your sin, you've had loss because of your sin? But Christ, because of what He's done on the cross, and you accepting it, and you wake up and you want to be a winner, you wake up every day knowing this, that you now are made alive in Christ. You wake up a victor every day. Every day. So when you wake up, no matter what's in front of you, I have victory in Jesus today because I am made alive. And the thing is, when you start looking at that, you'll start looking at the world a little bit different. You'll start understanding, knowing that when you're in that world, and you're waking up and you're walking in the world, remember, they know that it's only by grace. When they're walking around and they see everybody else, not judging them, but knowing what the Bible says. That there are people walking and putting so much effort into the world and sinning and living in their sin, that they know the truth is that it could be their last day. And they're separated from God. I don't think we understand the awesomeness of our salvation sometimes. Winning Christians know this. I have been made alive in Christ. Number two is this. If we go to the book of Hebrews, it's very simple. It says this. Keep your eyes fixed. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Individuals that are believers in Christ, that are winning in their walk in this world, know this, that they keep their eyes. When they wake up, they know they're alive in Christ, but they fix their eyes on Jesus. They keep their eyes on Jesus because they remember who He is and what He's done. I don't care what you've done in this church. If you're not doing it for Jesus Christ, you're doing it for the wrong purposes. I don't care, and I don't care what you've done in this. If your heart is not right with God and you do not have a relationship with God, your acts in this church will not save you. The acts that you do will not save you. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ and what He endured on the cross. And we need to learn how to fix our eyes on Jesus, not on everything else. Yet Jesus can be a part of everything else, but we're putting Him to the side. This is why we have a problem even with our attendance that we were talking about in Indiana. All these problems we have with these epioids problems and children welfare problems and the suicide rates and all those things. If 63%, over half of Indiana, believe in God, why are we still having these problems? Because they say they believe, but they're not walking the talk. They're not showing up when they need to show up. They don't wake up every morning knowing that I'm alive in Christ. They're not doing it. I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus Christ. He's the author. He is the creator. He is my everything. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't get caught up in the world. The world will take you on a world spin and take you back into a life of sin faster than you can shake a stick. Because that's what the devil does. God's trying to get you to grow up, trying to get us to grow up, trying to get me to grow up into where I need to be and where this church needs to be. Number three. It's in Hebrews as well, I remember. Hebrews 10. This one here is about the attendance once again, but let us not give up meeting together as some is in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. People who are winning in Christ always look forward to the future. There's always looks forward to the resurrection of Christ, of their resurrection, of the great day, the coming of Christ, that day that we will be in the Lord. But he also says this, do not be in the habit back then they had a habit. People have a habit. We may have some new hang-ups, but we got a lot of them the same as they did back then. They just didn't want to go to church. They just didn't want to show up. They didn't want to be in there. They didn't want to open. Listen, I'm telling you. Do not give up meeting together. And these people were in persecution. A lot of times they were in persecution. We're not in persecution. We can get up anytime we want. I don't think we got it. This is a privilege. This is the country in the world. It's one of the countries in the world we have a privilege to get up and be in church without being arrested. How would you like it today if somebody came in here and said, "Oh, pastor just said something about homosexuality. Pastor just said something about a man and just a woman. Pastor just said something about drug addiction. Take him over here. I want you to arrest him and I'll be gone. I'll be going right over to the county jail. Who's going to stand up and take my spot?" Because God's going to look at the next one and going to take a spot. Not look for a bunch of wimpy people, but for somebody that's going to pick it up. And I believe in that time, he'll either use male or female, anybody that's willing to stand up and share the gospel. We got to start taking our relationship with Christ seriously. Because we are in something that is, it's not just about what America is doing right now. It is a cultural thing. And the mission that Jesus had is still that we are to go out and make disciples and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are to be about the Father's business. And we are not going to get any of it if we don't even attend church on a regular basis. Don't tell me your walk with Jesus is great if you can miss church every other week. I'm just telling you, it's very odd. That's very. If the opportunity is that you can go to church, then you need to be there. Because it's all about the fellowship. It's about worshiping. It's about singing. It's a part of giving. It all kind of comes together. Because we're going to be doing some of that in heaven. We're going to be doing some of that in heaven. Number four. I guess. Number four also is in Hebrews. Keep losing my place. God's given us a confidence through His Holy Spirit. And we can't throw that confidence away. We can't throw it away. He says in verse 35, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised." Can I just tell you that there is a will that God has for each one of us that we're supposed to follow into that will, but we're asking God to get on our will instead of us getting on His will. This is why things, we read the Scriptures, we think we understand them, but we're not applying them. And when you apply the Scriptures, they come alive and you begin to experience the Scriptures. Listen, testimony comes. Listen, here's what happens. We have prayer and testimony time on Wednesday nights. Thought about bringing it to Sunday mornings, but I think it works on Wednesday nights. We could do it here, but here's the thing. Winning Christians will give more to praising God than prayer requests. Because winning Christians was already taking that prayer request to the throne already. And basically, if they want the church to pray, which we need to do that from time, we do need to throw our prayer requests out. We do. But what ignites the church is the praising of God on what He's done in our lives. So there is a time when we need to take care of those prayer requests, and we need to do that. But there's a lack of praises for what God has been doing in our life. And the reason there's a lack of praise in our walk is because we're not where we need to be in our walk with Christ. We're still all about being that baby, being that little kid, always asking for something, and not putting back in. When you put back in, then you get praises. Not for yourself, but praises to God. But we can't throw that confidence away. My confidence every time I stand up to preach is not in myself, but it is in the Holy Spirit. My confidence in my daily life is this, knowing that I'm not sure how the day is going to be, but my confidence is that I'm walking with the Spirit, that I know that He is not going to leave me, forsake me, that He's a part of my life because I'm a child of God and He's my Father. My Father is always watching. Not to scold and not to discipline, but always making sure that we're being taken care of. That He is protecting us. He is guiding us. So I can't throw my confidence away. My confidence is in Christ. My confidence is knowing that when I get up in the morning, I didn't lose my salvation last night. And if I didn't lose, even though if I did something that was sinful, you didn't lose your salvation last night, but that you do need to repent and have a conversation with God, seek forgiveness, repent from it, which means turn from it, and go on. And then if we don't, then the Bible says that God disciplines those whom He loves, and He's going to discipline us. But listen, that doesn't mean we lose our salvation. If we lost our salvation, we'd have to get saved all the time. Jesus died on the cross one time. And the question is, are you saved? Because you got to be saved. Amen. To understand what I'm talking about this morning. Number five. You got to sow to please the Spirit. I love the book of Galatians. It's challenging, but I like it. He says, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow into things that are bad and sinful, so you shall reap the consequences. You put your hand on a burning stove, you'll get your hand burnt. God tells us many times, do not put your hand on lust. I just got burnt. Don't put your hand on greed. Oh, I just lost everything. Don't put your hand on for oh, I just got a baby out of wedlock. Oh, I just did this. Oh, I just did that. Oh, now I'm addicted. Oh, Sunday school kid just saw me walk into the bar. Oh, God is it? Here's what it is. Is this our works don't get us to heaven? No, I don't think that. But we ain't acting like Christians, and the world has noticed. But not only has the world noticed. The Father has noticed. And this is where we just read, He is rich in mercy. Thank you, God. He is so rich in mercy. We didn't even talk about the pornography stats that I had. That over 70% of Christian men look at pornography on a regular basis. 30%, 30-some percent is for women now. Fastest rising group is females. That the average kid can get on the phone before the age of 12 is already seeing their first pornography piece. There's a problem. That's a problem. I don't want my granddaughters, my grands, I don't want them looking at that stuff, but we all give them phones. It's accessible. Back in my day and back in most of our days, us as are older, you had to go find it. Now it just pops up in front of you. We got to be stronger as Christians now. Just to fight off the smaller things. They used to be smaller, but now they've grown because we've adapted in many ways. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. If God says it, it will happen. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Then that's where it says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at due time, a proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Listen, He knows it's a hard spot. He knows it's work. But you know what? You get up every day and you fight. And you live that life that God's called. You have to fight. Listen, you don't have to fight to live in sin. Come on now. You don't got to fight to live in sin. Going to party tonight. Going down to the club tonight. Going to go out with this girl, but I'm going to go out with that other guy. Or that other girl down the street next week. Oh, my wife's doing this, so I'm thinking I want to go do that. You don't have to fight to live in sin. But you got to fight to stay in the light. You got to fight to live for Christ. You got to fight to do it right because the world is telling you, come on, join the heyday. God's saying don't. You reap what you sow. This is a hard message, but we need to hear it. We reap what we sow. But we got to do the work that God wants us to do, and that's to live for Him. Remember, it goes back to the first one. We were dead in our transgressions, but we were made alive in Jesus Christ. Hello, we were made alive in Jesus Christ. There was a place for you that was placed for you that was down in hell, had your name on it. And God redeemed you through His Son, Jesus Christ. You're no longer going to the pit. You're going down the straight and the narrow way, the Jesus way, straight up to the highway to heaven. That's where you're going, because He said that in John 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you. For you. And if you don't believe it, I'm coming back. I told you I'm coming back. I'm going to prepare a place for you. For those who follow me. You can't be like the disciples in John chapter 6 when it got rough. He turns around and he saw all those disciples begin to fall away. And he looks at Peter, he says, will you too also fall away? He says, no. No, Jesus. For you are the way to salvation. Don't forget who you served. Don't forget who saved you. Don't forget you're a citizen. Here in America, you're a citizen of the United States. But when you die, they give you a plot in the ground, and they put you now in an urn. And the Bible says your plans, when you die, a man's plans dies with him. And the world forgets you. Your family remembers you for about one generation, but after that, you're done. Your grandkids, your grandkids, your third generation, they don't forgot you. Saw your name on a piece of paper or on the Bible, but they don't know you. Saw your face in a picture. They don't know you. But in death, you just... That's where eternity be. Are you getting that? You're either going to the highway, you're going to heaven, a glorious music, and it's amazing. You get to stay, woo, and that's going to be awesome. Or you're going to the other place. In America, citizenship don't get you nothing. Do you understand that? So as being American citizens, we have a freedom that we can exercise right now. We need to use it as much as we possibly can. But the Bible says, I'm just passing through. Because I'm not of this world now. And neither are you if you're a believer in Christ and you act like you're not a part of this world. Wouldn't it be amazing if God says, okay, that you already know, all right, would you, if you knew when you were going to, He says, oh, He come up to you and tap you on the shoulder and says, next week you're going to die. Start packing up. How many of us would be like, I don't want to. How many of us would be, you know what? My heart is torn because I love my friend. I love my family. I love my great. I love my spouse. But listen, something inside of me is pulling me toward heaven on a regular basis. It's pulling me up to heaven. I want to go. I don't think anyone that's in heaven today would want to come back and live back in this mess. As much as they miss you. I wasn't planning on going here, but listen. Hebrews chapter 12, we were just there. But chapter 1, verse 1. I didn't read verse 1, but listen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You know where I'm going? A great cloud of witnesses. Hey, Dad. I miss my dad. They're there. You can do it. You can do it. You keep pushing on. You can do it. A great crowd of witnesses are watching. They done lived their life on this earth. They know what it's like. And now they are a crowd of witnesses. And let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Christ. He's saying, there's a cloud of witnesses that are rooting us on like we're in the Colosseum, the gladiator, we're in life. Don't sin. Keep up your walk with Christ. Don't sin. Keep focused on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. There is a cloud of witnesses. And they are those who have walked on this earth already that know Christ but have passed on, and they are rooting for you and I on a daily basis. You and we have more than we need to accomplish what God has called us to in this world. We must please God. We sow to please God. Not the world. Not the world. I asked my wife yesterday, we've had 30 some Christmases together. Do you remember anything I ever bought you? Not really. must not been big enough or beautiful enough. But what I'm saying is, don't put too much in the world. Don't put too much into the world. Number six. We live by faith. That's the only reason this church exists today. We live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It's very simple. We live by faith and not by sight. It took faith to start New Life Fellowship because I ran from it. I was just going to be an evangelist, forget the church thing. But we started New Life. It took faith to be able to create the mission, the ministries that we do have. It takes faith on a regular basis to know that when you got six electric bills or however many water bills we got, to have them paid for. And the congregations this size, we never stopped and said, what can we afford, what not can we afford? We just do what God called us to do. And we do it by faith. Yet many of us still don't understand it. But we do know this, faith, there is a faith level that is a spiritual gift. But we need to understand, without faith we can accomplish nothing. Without faith we accomplish nothing. It is by faith that we live. And these men, it's by faith that this church exists. And it's not by sight, but it's by faith and faith alone. It's very simple, but it's very hard for many. It's by faith. That's why I have a hard time with fundraising, because sometimes I'm thinking, I think I do too much, want to get involved with too much fundraising and just live by faith. But there's a part that God has shown me that there's a part that we must do, but where we can't go on, God goes on before us. And I may talk to people about our ministries, two or three people, but it is, and they'd be like, they're not interested, but then God uses someone over here that we've never met. So we live by faith, not by sight. Number seven. In Matthew, Jesus is in the desert. Do you notice that when you're in trouble, you always want to pray? You find yourself praying? Amen. We find ourselves praying, and we should. But there's also something else that many of us, we stop at praying, but we don't do the next step. And the next step is exactly what we're going to read here. Jesus is in the desert and Satan is tempting him with these temptations. The tempter came. It says, Jesus said, he says, if you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. Because there's a physical part that he was hungry. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you want to be a winner as a Christian, you want to live in a winning life as a Christian, you got to know this, that word, that Bible, is your daily food spiritually. The ones that are winning in their walk in the world, they know, they read this word because it strengthens them. They know where to go when they're struggling with depression. They know where to go when they're struggling with temptation. They know where they go when they're struggling with anger or unforgiveness, or where, how to bless somebody. What's it look like? And to be reminded of what Christ has done for them, to be reminded of where they were going. But now they're alive in Christ. Listen, those who are winning in Christ are living an effective life and an outward appearance. Man, look all great. Doesn't mean everything's going great for them, but they know the tools to use to make it in this world where our foster care system is messed up. Our DCS system, whether they don't have much funding, or we're just a messed up state, or where the suicide rates are racking up, where we have problems of disciplinary. And, you know, I don't know if y'all know, as a guy I know, his name's Sean, just talked to him yesterday, moved to elementary as a dean of the dean of a correction or whatever it may be, kids would get into trouble. He said, a first grader punched me in the face. I mean, this is the society that we're living in. Back in my day, guess what would have happened back in many of your day? We'd have been out there in that hall with the dean, and there would have been a big paddle, and you were going to get yours. You're going to get yours, but today, we put up with it. But then again, he says, well, we fix them up for the day, and then they go home at night, and then when the parents have to come in, then we go, now we see why. Children are raised by something and someone. And some of them do not have the greatest parents to raise them. Some of them do not have as much as someone else has. He says, I get called the F word and all kinds of things right in front of my face, spit on and everything else. But we act like it's their problem. We act like it's a government's problem. I believe a lot of it is the church problem. It's the believer's problem. If over half the people in Indiana claim to have a relationship with God, we're surely not acting like it. And we can't change everybody else, but we can change one person, ourselves. And then we can do a little bit more by helping others. We can't change people, but we can help other people. Like I said before, the church abandoned, most churches abandoned, and denominations abandoned ministries of social work. Well, God must have knew some things were happening because he chose this place and some other places to begin to do some things into the social work. You notice, we went out to dinner last night with my family, and their church used to be super big into upwards program, basketball and all those things. In the 90s, it was great. Ran their church from 200 up to the 400, 500, 600 people. It did great. Upwards was amazing program. But between the 90s down to where we are now, a lot of those programs are shutting down. Some of the churches are now going to what is the need of the community. Because if mom, dad's home using drugs or drunk or doing whatever they're doing, and there's nobody that's going to take that kid to an upwards game, what it's saying is we have a problem in our homes. We don't knock on doors and share the gospel anymore. We expect them. We're just as big a problem. We think that they're going to come in the doors. I think we need to pray about our church and where we're at. I think we need to pray about where we are as individuals. I think we need to be praying about, am I a Christian? Am I living a winning life as a Christian? And I think some of us need to pray for our state. You pray. The Bible says we need to pray for our leaders. We do. Even if you don't agree with them, you pray for them. We need to pray for them. We've got a problem. And it can't just be me and my family. We're going to huddle up over here and I'm going to take care of my own. That's not a concept you're going to find in God's Word. He keeps saying, go out. Go out. Go out. I talked about a lot of things this morning. I can't fix anything that you're going through. But I know who can. If Jesus Christ, as God's Word says, is he sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us, I'm wondering how he's interceding for me today, or how he might be interceding for you today. Listen, if you can't love your brothers and sisters in the church, you're not going to love them out there. You're not. If you can't accept the problems that we have in our small church, then you're not going to understand and accept the problems that are out there. God is waiting for people. Just say, choose me, Lord. Choose me. Whatever you're going through, I'm telling you, God can help you through that. And we're going to have a moment, so let's go ahead and stand.